Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Listen again to that Old Testament lesson, because it's so amazing that King Solomon would pray this at the dedication of the temple that he had just built. It's certain sections from that prayer. Listen closely to the three that we've chosen for today. We're told, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, 'O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the prayer and the cry that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and to your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name." These are the words of the Lord. In Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. People will travel hundreds, even thousands of miles just so that they can see or attend or participate in some activity or see some sights or be in a particular place that really fills them with enthusiasm, some kind of a sporting event that they really enjoy. You can tell how important something is to someone by how much time and attention and money and dedication and determination they give towards that particular thing. You might even get an inkling of that because of the pictures maybe that they show you, or maybe some memorabilia that they brought home from that particular place that they were at, or they can't stop talking about that activity, right? You understand and know this is something important to them. I wonder what the people of Israel were thinking after Solomon prayed this prayer at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. This glorious, magnificent, beautiful edifice that was the temple of the Lord there in the city of God, Jerusalem. Read about it in 1 Kings chapter 6. That's two chapters before the words of our text for today. Gold and ivory and stone and cedar and all kinds of ornamentation that just boggles the mind when you stop and think about all the cost, the precious gems and just the decoration that there was to that temple. It stood out among all the buildings, not just in Jerusalem, but really throughout the world. It was incredible. And as Solomon points out, there are people who will come to this place to see this temple. But it wasn't just the place. Yes, the building was amazing, beautiful, wonderful, magnificent. But what was even greater is that this is the place where God had chosen to make himself known. As Solomon says, this is the place, the house that bears your name. Well, there's other places where, you know, people say they meet God. People go up in the mountains and they say, I find God up in the mountains. Or they go out on the lake and say, I encounter God when I'm fishing. Well, I wonder. But here at the temple in Jerusalem, God had promised, he declared, this is where I will make my presence known. People who came to the temple knew they were in the presence of the Almighty God. And not only was their time, their attention, their travel, but yes, everything that they had was due to God alone. So for anyone to come to the temple of the Lord, to come into the Lord's presence, was worth it. The Lord our God is worth it, isn't he? After all, he's the one who, in fact, keeps all his promises. There is no one like him. He's the one who, in fact, hears and answers all our prayers. Therefore, you and I also ought to step into the presence of God and praise and honor him always and alone. Of anyone. The people of Israel should have understood that, right? After all, they had first-hand knowledge of just how awesome a God the Lord is. Just simply go back a little bit in time into their history. What was the quintessential event in their history that caused them to recognize the Lord our God is the one true God? The Exodus? After 400 and some years in slavery in Egypt, the Lord through Moses brought the people out of Egypt and slavery in one night. Talk about amazing events. Something that would draw your attention to. You know, have you ever thought about having a time machine so you can go back in time and see various events in history? Like creation, the flood, the Exodus. Think of what the people of Israel, in their own history, understood about the one true God. More than any other no other nation on earth had ever experienced anything like what the people of Israel did because of the mighty hand of the Lord their God. No other nation, no other God. Worthy of thanks and praise, right? Well, just stop there. Those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Remember what Moses said to the people of Israel. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the desert these 40 years. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then fed you with manna. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Stop and think again, people. How the Lord your God has watched over you, taken care of you, provided for you, given you everything you need, even though all the circumstances in your existence were terrifying, yet the Lord was with you every step of the way. In spite of what you had done. Thinking again of the people of Israel, blows your mind to think about how God, in His mercy and grace, took care of those people for those 40 years. And now we're 400 years later. And the Lord had continued to provide for everything that the people of Israel needed. Thanks be to God, is Solomon's point. Not to mention all the other things that the Lord certainly deserves our thanks and praise for. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. This is the Almighty Creator of the universe and this world in which we live. Stop and think about the benefits and blessings that you have received over the years of your life because of the Lord your God. Again, the psalmist says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name, bring an offering and come into His courts, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness, tremble before Him all the earth, because there is no God like the Lord our God, the one true God, who has also made Himself known to you and me. We know this same Lord God that the people of Israel honored and worshipped with this magnificent temple that Solomon had built. And certainly the Lord deserves and is worthy of that honor and praise from us as well. Our praises especially because there is no God like ours who sent His Son Jesus to be our Savior. He is indeed worthy of all honor and praise from us as well. But do we always do that? Or are there times when maybe we just take it for granted that, well, we have this and we have that, and there are all kinds of benefits and blessings that we enjoy day to day, and we hardly even give it a thought. The abundance that we have in whatever grocery store we happen to enjoy going to, or the vehicle that we have to get us from here to there rather than our sandals or shoes or whatever we have on our feet. The medical care that the Lord provides us with, the clothes that we wear, the house that we live in, everything comes from the Lord our God. He is indeed worthy of our greatest honor, thanks, and praise, and yet all too often we kind of just kind of put that off. Or maybe we just don't think about it. We take it so for granted, and sometimes we even just leave God with the leftovers of our thanks and praise. But what does Paul call on us to do? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Because He is worth it. Not to mention the fact that He's also the one who keeps all His promises. Again, Solomon says in his prayer, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven above or on earth below. You keep Your covenant of love with Your servants who continue wholeheartedly in Your way. You have kept Your promise to Your servant David, my father. With Your mouth You have promised, and with Your hand You have fulfilled it as it is today. And that certainly was not even the greatest of the blessings and promises that the Lord had fulfilled for the people of Israel. Again, go back in their history. The simple fact that He delivered them from Egypt, as He had promised He would do, all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fact that God also took care of them and provided them this promised land in which they lived. as he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And certainly the fact that they were now privileged to honor and worship him there at the temple. This God who had placed his name upon them as well, making them his chosen people? Utterly astounding, the blessings that God had showered upon them. Not to mention the greatest promise of all. That through this nation, through these people, God was going to send the Messiah. That's the reason why he separated them from all the other nations. Why he chose them. It wasn't because they were such a great nation. You go back in their history, you realize, Lord, what are you thinking? But it wasn't because of them. It was instead because of his mercy, his grace, his love as the Lord God Almighty, that he chose this despised and rejected and tiny and really unimportant nation and said, from you I'm going to bring the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he did, didn't he? Just as he said and promised throughout the Old Testament, finally in the Savior, Son, born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, God kept that astounding promise as well. For all of which we ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him, right? God, our Savior, is indeed worth it. Because everything he says, yes, the promises that he makes, but also everything else that he says, we can take at his word. Take him at his word. Rely on his word because his word is truth. You know, that's a difficult concept for people to grasp today. You have your truth and I have my truth. No, that's not the case. God's word is truth. Whether you believe it or not, it is still the truth. And for that we thank and praise our God. Because he has kept every single one of his promises. All of his word. But do we always take him at his word? Do we always look to that word as the source of everything that we need in our life? We ought to. Because certainly he deserves it. He is ultimately reliable. And certainly he deserves the praise. Not to mention the fact that he also is the one, not only who keeps his promises, but always hears and answers our prayers. Solomon goes on and says, as for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day. This place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. You know, that's something oftentimes that we maybe don't think about quite as much or as fervently as we should either. That no matter where we are or what circumstance we are in, we can turn to the Almighty God, the Lord, the Savior God, our Heavenly Father, and speak to him whatever is on our minds. God, in fact, invites us, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honor me. That's a promise that he has made to hear and answer all our prayers. Jesus taught us that supreme prayer in which he tells us also the things that are to be uppermost in our hearts and in our minds when we come to him and ask for the things that we need. And his promise is, as Jesus our Savior himself reminds us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so he does. Every step of the way, he answers our prayers, always what is best for us. Therefore, we too need to thank and praise our God and Savior just as Solomon did. With all that we have and are, as the psalmist says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Excuse me. And make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples and justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. And so it is incumbent upon us also to thank and praise our God in all that we do. Because all he has done for us, especially in Christ Jesus our Savior, because the Lord our God is worth it. Isn't he? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Take your hymnal now and open to page 163 for the Apostles' Creed this morning, our Confession of Faith, page 163. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.